called Let Us. And it's based on Hebrews chapter 4, where the author of Hebrews uses the word let us quite a few times in the entire chapter. And so today we're going to unpack, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Next week, Nigel's going to tackle, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And then the last week, we're going to finish off with a bang with, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. So yeah, just prepare yourself for that. If you want to go and study Hebrews 4 in the coming weeks, please do so. But this morning, let's just open up to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then jump to verses 9 to 13. Sounds like you're already there. Hey? Or you're there on your phones, which is fantastic. John asked me to warn you that Nigel and I are probably tackling the most difficult chapter in the Bible to try and explain to you. So we hope it hits home and that you grow out of this. Let's read together Hebrews 4 verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we have also had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. And then jump to verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that this morning you would speak to us directly and help us discover what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You would note that Hebrews 4 verse 1 starts with the words, therefore. And I want to challenge you that whenever you read scripture, whether it's following a Bible app reading plan or like a devotional book, and they tell you to go and read a verse, and it starts with the word, therefore, you've got to read the chapter before, sometimes even the entire book, because you won't understand what the therefore is all about. You can't apply the rest if you don't know where it's coming from. And so this morning, we've got to do that. We've got to go and read the rest of Hebrews. Are you ready? I'm joking. Of course, I'm joking. But we've got to go to chapter 3. We've got to just page back if you've got your Bible or just flick back on the app. You've got to go to chapter 3. And if you want to skim read through it, you're more than welcome to. But that entire chapter is dedicated. And there's a lot of emphasis placed on a warning against the same unbelief that kept the people of Israel from entering into the promised land and the rest that God had promised them. As you read through chapter 3 a bit further on, we are then encouraged and told to help each other, keep each other accountable to our walk with God, and to remain faithful to God to the very end while it is still called today. Now that today means you're still alive. You still have the opportunity to be faithful. And so that's the backdrop of this therefore. It was a warning against the same unbelief the Israelites had. And we were told to encourage each other and to remain faithful to the very end. That's chapter 3. And our chapter 4 starts with therefore. Since the promise of entering his rest still stands. This opening verse should make you want to sing songs of gratitude until you drop. I'll say that again. This opening verse in Hebrews 4 should make you want to sing songs of gratitude until you drop. Somebody heard it, thank goodness. Because the promise of entering God's rest, the promise of John 3:16, for whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, that promise still stands to this day. And that's fantastic news for every single person in this room, and it should make us extremely grateful that we have been given the opportunity to respond to God's gift of eternal life through Christ, and that for us it is still today. Because you and I know that we only get one chance. We only get one life to take God up on his offer. And you and I still have that chance. And for most of us sitting here this morning, if not all of us, you have taken God up on that offer. So you should be grateful and walk through these doors every Sunday going, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, that I have been granted worthy to accept salvation that you offer. And therefore, verse 1 carries on. To challenge us, those who accepted God's gift of eternal life, it says, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Once again, we've got to read that in the context of Hebrews 3 and 4. The author of Hebrews is trying to warn us not to fall into the same trap and make the same mistakes as the Israelites did, who, when they had entered the maternal promised land, they had lost sight of the eternal promised land. They lost sight of their relationship with God the moment they had received what God had promised them for this life. And that's why God said to them, they would never enter his rest because their hearts had grown hard and they had forgotten who led them, cared for them, and provided for them. And that's why this author warns us. That's why God warns us to be careful that we do not fall into the same trap. And you might say, that was then. It was the Israelites, man. I don't do that kind of stuff. Let's look at a modern day example where you and I have grown up in a third world country where you barely receive a decent education, and then somewhere along the line, somebody tells you about this God who plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope in a future. And of course, man alive, you hear those words and you believe in it wholeheartedly. And you even follow God to the exact T. You do everything he wants you to do. And then you notice your life starts to change a little. It's first something small, but then God starts opening doors that you know would never, ever, ever have happened without God's help. He opens those doors for you and your life slowly moves from a third world lifestyle to a second, even a first world lifestyle. And then just like the Israelites, we have now entered our promised land and there's plenty of milk and money. That worked. And now all of our needs are taken care of. Every single one. And we completely forget about the God who led us from slavery into the land of milk and honey. And for years we live like that, without even recognizing his presence. We completely forget about him. See how easy it is to still do that today? And then we must ask ourselves this question. We must put ourselves in the feet of God, if that were even possible. And ask ourselves, would you allow anybody into your eternal presence who treated you that way? Who, when you were in dire need, he provided, cared for, and led you into this new life of milk and money. And then you just forget about him completely. Would you allow that kind of person to spend eternity with you? No, thank you. Somebody's listening. No, of course not. Because that's abuse, isn't it? It's abuse of love and care. And that's why God warns us. He says, be careful. I don't want you to fall into the same traps as these Israelites because I want to spend eternity with you. I've cared for you on earth. I want to care for you eternally. So be careful not to fall into that same ungrateful trap. And the question is how? How do we ensure that we don't fall into the same trap as the Israelites did? How do we ensure that we reveal to God how grateful we are for this life that he's given to us, with all of the milk and money, but also eternal life. How do we do that right now? And the text answers that question for us. The big thing that I want us to think about is, what do you want God to say to you the day you meet Him? When this life is over and you meet Him face to face, do you want to hear these words? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Both quotes of Scripture. Both of them. For those who do everything they possibly can to remain faithful to God, you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. For those who completely forget about Him, you might hear the second quote. But our text this morning helps us, gives us a bit of encouragement and a bit of oomph and motivation. Our text this morning says, if you want to enter God's rest, make every effort to do so. And then we could ask, well, is it all about works? Can I work my way into heaven? No, we can't. It's all about faith, friends. It's all about your relationship with the owner of heaven and earth. You see, our relationship should drive our actions when we realize, when we really discover what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That should inspire our actions and go, of course, I would want to give God my best and make every effort in terms of my relationship with God, because I have come to realize what it cost Him to even have a relationship with me in the first place. How then can we ensure that our actions reveal that we are grateful to God for who He is and what He has done for us? There are two things. And then commentator says, and sums it up very well, if our relationship with God is genuine, it will be expressed in obedience to what God has called us to do. If our relationship is genuine, it will be expressed by what God has called us to do. What are the two things God has called us to do on earth? What are they? Two things. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's easy, isn't it? It's a piece of cake. Why are you laughing? That is so easy to do. The Israelites got it right for thousands of years. Not at all, hey? Not a chance. God sent prophets, teachers of the law, kings, religious leaders, and again they failed. And again, a thousand times I've failed. Still your mercy remains. God realized that, hey, these folks are going to fail again and again and again just to get these two things right. So you know what? I'll come down to earth and I'll come and live it with them. Show them step by step how to get this right. Because remember, God wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to spend maternity with you right now. He wants to. And that's why He came down. He said, these oaks are just not getting it right. So you know what? I'm going to come down and show them step by step how to do it. And you and I are sitting in 2017 going, oh, the disciples had it easy, man. Because they could tackle Jesus. I would so tackle Jesus. Hey? And then try and walk on water, you know. All those kind of fun stuff. I would do that. Just because Janine knows that's how I am. You know, jump off bridge with rope attached to my legs. Where with Jesus, you don't need the bungee. You can just go. Hey? Yeah, let's focus. That was awesome for the disciples. And I think that's why they had that kind of level of intimacy with God. Because they could touch Jesus. Thomas could put his fingers through the holes and go, wow, that's awesome. And for most of us, we go, I would love that kind of intimacy with God, where I could touch Jesus. I could hear Him telling me right now, Jan, you can pat James on the bum, he's being naughty. You know, or don't worry, man, that's something trivial. Hey, I would love Jesus right next to me with parenting James right now. Hey? And most of the parents go, yes, amen, that would be awesome. It's still available to us to this day. We've got God's word. And the struggle for us is diligence. For the disciples, it was easy because the memory was fresh. The teachings were fresh. For us, we have got to spend some time with God and His Word on a daily basis, if possible. And John, the other day, when he taught us on how to do a devotion, he said, hey, if life is just that hectic and you can only connect with God intimately once a week, well, do that with diligence. Come hell and high water, and the young dads and moms would understand when little James is bawling his eyes out, and I'm like, I have no idea what to do. And Janine is in the other room with the devotions. I've got to make it happen. Even when he leaves in an explosion, I've got to make it happen with a hand shower, and it works. With two, you know, like washing peg on the nose, going, it works. And the same for Janine. At times, she's just got to go, well, Jan's got to go and play golf with Jesus. Because that's how I connect with him probably the best way, especially when the drive goes skew. I'm like, Lord, please tell me it's going to be easier in heaven. Hey? And the golfers would understand. Diligence. If we want the same level of intimacy with God as the disciples had, the word this morning says we need to be diligent in terms of our relationship with God. Those efforts that we make, just be diligent with whatever the effort is. If it's 5 minutes once a week, be diligent with the 5 minutes. Because God will see that and go, hey, this oak is taking me seriously. And for some of us, you go, 5 minutes, Jan, that's not serious. But for some of us, that is. That 5 minutes, and God will see the heart and go, this oak is actually dedicating 5 minutes. Which is fantastic. And then your relationship and your intimacy with God would grow to an extent where you're like, yo, 5 minutes is not enough. I want more of God. I want to read and study His Word even more. I want to be more diligent, Lord. And that takes time. I can't wait for it to be more than that for everybody in this room. Because then you and I would experience some of the fulfillment of God's promises today. We would see some of the miracles we read in Scripture happen in 2017 in various ways. Where one of our family members in this church was hijacked the other day. The miracle is that she's still alive. Hey? We know how hijackings generally go in our country. Mortality rate is very, very high. And the fact that Hester can sit in church with us is a miracle and something that we should be grateful for. And we know that she's grateful for that. But friends, God didn't just give us His Word. He knows that if you and I are going to remain faithful to this walk on earth, we need His Holy Spirit, His helper, to guide us, to remind us on a daily basis, because you and I don't have the Bible attached to our hip, except if you've got a cell phone and the Bible's on there. Hey? But we sometimes forget what we read in that 5 minute devotion with the Lord or in the morning. We sometimes at lunchtime completely forget, especially when a colleague steps on your toes. And that's when we really need to rely on the Holy Spirit to go, help me be patient and kind. For God is love and He calls me to be loving towards this person right now. Although I really want to love them right now. That's the Holy Spirit just reminding us, nudging us. But that's not all. If it was just for God's Word and the Holy Spirit, why are we here today? God also gave us the church, the communion of saints, us gathering together every week, and sometimes more than once a week when you go to your Bible studies in the week, where we gather together, yes, to worship the Lord, yes, to hear the Word preached, but also to hold each other accountable. And go, hey, what? How was your week? Yo, my boss, or that colleague, or this, or the garden, or the dog, or the cat. And we could then encourage each other and go, hey, is the dog and the cat that bad. No, it's not. Or it is that bad, and we just go, it's okay. Don't tell me that your cat's died, because I'll just tell you, go buy a new one, you know. Yes, I love my animals. So every time I go back to Joburg, I play with the dogs and the cats, and it's awesome. But if they die, we just get new ones. They're different for me to humans. If any of you die, it's not getting a new one. Hey? It's very difficult for me when any of you die, but not so much for the animals. But as a church, we could be there for each other, even when a pet dies. But what I love seeing is when we get together through the joys and the tribulations of this world. When we get together and a new life is born, and we had a baby shower yesterday, and it's awesome, hey, to see all the moms excited and you know, just from a distance, you know, unpacking things, and hey, it's lekker. But it is also awesome when somebody passes away and you see the church gathering around that family with love. And this church does it so well, and may you always keep doing it. You know, when we go and hand out meals to that family for a week or so, or we gather together at the funeral and we're just there in love and support. That's amazing. Let's keep doing that, because that is how God has designed it to be. Yes, when we meet together, it's about worship, about the word, but it's also about helping each other remain faithful to God to the very end. So that, not like the Israelites, you and I can enter his rest eternally. And so, friends, as we conclude today, remember that God longs to spend eternity with every single one of us. He longs to spend eternity with you. And you have accepted that gift of salvation. So this morning, make every effort to grow in your relationship with God, so that the loving God and the loving of your neighbor as yourself becomes easier by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but also the companionship of fellow believers. So that one day when we meet God face to face, he would go, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have remained faithful to the end. Come into my rest." That is the hope and the prayer for every single person here today. Let us, therefore, do it with diligence and faithfully to the end. Amen. Let's pray together. You call us to come into your rest. And you know that that comes with a warning, because so many have fallen away from you. So many have turned their hearts against you and their hearts have grown hard. But we pray, Lord, that while it is still today, use us, God, to be a light in the darkness, so that more and more people would come into your rest, as is your heart's desire, even for us sitting here today. And so help us in the weeks and the days to come to do everything we possibly can, whether it's just 5 minutes, to grow in our relationship with you, to grow in our love for you and for others, as we follow the example of Christ, as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and held accountable by your church, so that one day all of us would hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We pray this in Jesus' name.